from the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios. Welcome back to the second hour of Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins. I'm a horticulturist, landscape designer, garden author, consultant. I love to help with landscapes, with garden beds, with problems. I can pretty much diagnose and tell you what's going on about nearly everything that goes on in the garden. I'm a nature girl, and I love walking through yards. And, you know, sometimes people say, oh, don't look at my yard, Teresa. Oh, but you know what? I can see the beauty in it all, even in the weeds. And, you know, when I went to Ireland on the Art and Bloom Garden Tours, I fell in love with Ireland's weeds. And Scotland had beautiful weeds. Florida, not so much, but I...
I was like, I feel a little bit attacked there talking about not... Y'all don't understand. Like, I will not let her come to my house and see my property. Like, she's like, no, but I can... No, you can't.
I love looking at yards, and I can just see all the possibilities. So if you would like me to design your yard, you can give me a call, or you can check out my website at www.she-consultant.com. She-consulting.com, or just Google me, Teresa Watkins. I'm everywhere. This is going to be a great hour. We have some great interviews coming up. We have the bodacious and beautiful Katie Dubow coming on with the 2027 Garden Trends. Lizzie, it is right up our alley. Mm-hmm. I'm just telling you, we are set to pop in 2027. And we have the dirty word of the day. Let's go for it.
And now it's time for the dirty word of the day on Better Lawns and Gardens with Teresa Watkins.
And the dirty word of the day is chlorosis. Chlorosis is a condition that causes plant leaves to turn pale green, yellow, or even yellow-white because they're not making enough chlorophyll. Chlorophyll is the green pigment that plants use to capture sunlight and make food through photosynthesis. When a plant does not have enough chlorophyll, it cannot produce the food it needs to grow and stay healthy. If the problem is not corrected, the plant may become weak or weak or die. The word chlorosis comes from a Greek word meaning pale green or yellow green. One of the most common signs of chlorosis is yellowing leaves, especially in plants growing in soils where important nutrients are difficult for roots to absorb. For example, grapevines growing in high limestone soils often develop chlorosis because they cannot take up enough iron, which is needed to make chlorophyll. And the same with azaleas. If they're not in the right pH of 4.5 to 5.5, it doesn't matter how much fertilizer you put down, they won't be able to absorb it. That's why azaleas need to have acidic fertilizer. Chlorosis can occur when plants are unable to get or use the nutrients needed to produce chlorophyll. Common causes include lack of important nutrients, such as iron, magnesium, zinc, or nitrogen, the wrong soil pH that prevents the roots from absorbing nutrients, poor drainage or waterlogged soil, overwatering, damaged or compacted roots, injury from herbicides or other chemicals, air pollutants such as sulfur dioxide or ozone, bacterial diseases, fungal diseases, and symptoms of yellow leaves with green veins, pale green or yellow foliage, reduced plant growth, and weak plants that are more vulnerable to stress and disease. Correctly identifying the cause of chlorosis is important because treatment depends on what is preventing the plants from absorbing enough, producing enough chlorophyll. So when you're seeing the yellow leaves, you have to find out the reason why before you can treat it. So the dirty word of the day is chlorophyll. Very important.
Chlorophyll. Isn't that what Curious George does? Haven't you seen the memes of where his handler put chlorophyll over his mouth or over
no,
the
that's,
napkin?
that's chloroform.
Oh.
So... Curious George hangs from the trees, which have chlorophyll in them.
Yes.
Chloroform you put on your mouth to get people to pass out. Never mind.
Whatever.
I love it.
I hate everybody.
Oh, I am going to use this episode so many times.
So what else we got going on? So
we do have some wonderful interviews coming up. We have the 2027 Garden Trends. You can go onto my website, www.she-consulting.com, to sign up for my newsletter. And if they missed the first hour, they missed wonderful interviews with Dan Himes, who is the owner of Terra Nova and the wonderful Heuchera Firewing series plants, which are amazing, beautiful, magical in the garden. And also Kathy Gent's water garden information about water lilies.
Yes, and also don't forget that Peterson's Nursery today at 9:30, vegetable gardening for the fall. And they always have this thing called BYOC, and that means bring your own chair. So that's at 9:30 at Peterson's Nursery. It's vegetable gardening for the fall.
That is wonderful. And they'll find so many beautiful plants there. So this is the time of the year to go to your independent nurseries like Peterson's Nursery. Nursery, like Quality Green Specialist Nursery, and get those beautiful trees and shrubs that are going to go into the ground, and they're not going to stress out as much because our weather is getting cooler.
Mm-hmm.
We still have a couple of more months of our rainy season going on. So again, this is a great time to be planting in the garden and getting all of those favorite plants you want and getting that fall color.
Absolutely love the fall colors.
I do too. I'm a fall person. I love the North Carolina look. I love, you know, putting on sweaters. I look better in sweaters than I do bikinis. So I like the fall. We have the wonderful Katie Dubow. She is the president of Garden Media Group coming up right now. You don't want to miss the 2027 Garden Trends coming up next. If it's Saturday morning from the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios, I'm Teresa Watkins. You're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins. Today, I am delighted to welcome one of my longstanding friends and colleagues in the garden communications world, the sparkling, insightful, and remarkably prescient Katie Dubow. As president of Garden Media Group, Katie has spent years tracking consumer behaviors, lifestyle shifts, and emerging movements that shape the future of gardening. Each year, her highly anticipated Garden Trends report gives the green industry a glimpse of what's ahead, and her predictions have an excellent track record of becoming reality. This year's 2027 Garden Trends, Digging for Dopamine, explains how gardens are becoming essential, and talking with you about gardening trends is one of my favorite events each year, Katie. Welcome to back to Better Lawns and Gardens. How are you?
Teresa, I am great. I am so glad to be here. I wish we could do this every weekend, but I know I don't get you that often. So it's one of my favorite days, too.
Well, I just enjoy you so much. And I always look forward to what is going to happen in the future. And
yes.
So you have your pulse right there on culture. So the theme of this year's Garden Trends, Digging for Dopamine. What does that phrase mean? And why do you believe gardening is becoming an antidote to digital overload?
Oh my gosh, I love it. So we went back and forth on this digging for dopamine because many people don't even understand what dopamine is. But maybe some listeners have heard of the term doom scrolling. And it's just this feeling of an endless loop where you've lost an hour of your time doing nothing. And so what we're trying to do is get rid of those quick hits of, you know, either the scrolling or even just buying that $10 latte or things that we used to do that would give us that dopamine hit. And now we're saying we're going from doom scrolling to bloom scrolling.
I love it.
Yes. And we want to rebuild our brain from being overstimulated and undernourished and use gardening because it's really the opposite of that doom scroll. It gives us something to do, you know, putting our phones down. Teresa, did you know that we check our phones on average 205 times a day?
Oh, no.
I think that's low for me. Lizzie,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, like 5,000 times a day.
Yeah, well, that's an average. It's crazy. And so it gives you, gardening gives you that chance. You have to put your phone down. It's tactile. It creates patience because you have to wait for it. And the payoff is actually real. It's not something where you're just watching another video. You actually are getting a flower or a tomato. And that's why we think it's becoming that antidote.
I think that's very important to understand. So your report suggests that people are looking for a reset rather than a treat yourself. How is that shift changing the way consumers view gardening and outdoor event spaces?
Well, yeah, that reset, I think for years, and listen, I was susceptible to it too, that quick treat, you know, the impulse buy, maybe even just a new candle for my bathroom or take a bubble bath. But we've then learned over the years that these wellness cures that have promised us peace and stability and 10 pounds off or whatever don't actually work. And we want to hit that reset button, and we want something that will actually restore us instead of just taking our money. And with gardening, it's, you know, you are still getting that experience, but you're also creating something. And so that participation in it is what makes it feel like a real reset for people, is that your brain can be cleared, you're active in it. And, you know, in the long run, you're doing something good for you and for the planet.
I think that is very important. So one of the trends is show up culture, which focuses on low pressure and phone free gatherings. How can gardeners create meaningful social connections through their gardens without using their phones?
Oh, this is the $1 million question. And so our report does highlight 7 trends. So this is the first trend. And the idea of show up culture is something that I originally thought was just with the young generation, Gen Z. You know, they're doing these things like getting together, unplugging. Have you heard of the Silent Book Club?
No, but I thought it was fascinating when I saw it in the report, which we're going to be able to tell people how to get the report, you know, in just a few minutes.
But I mean, people are getting together just with no pressure. And that's this idea of show up culture, is that with our phones in the past, we've been pressured to, what outfit are we going to wear? What does my living room look like? Is it pretty enough for when people take pictures of it? Well, show up culture gets rid of all of that. There's no agenda. You just show up. And in fact, businesses are finding that events where people just show up related to gardening are up. According to Eventbrite, they're up 282%. And
wow.
The interesting thing is, when I presented this at a conference, I had people of all generations come up to me afterwards and say, I feel this. It's not just Gen Z. I feel the pressure to perform. And so this really is applicable to everybody.
That is great. So what are some more other highlights that you show in the report?
So our next trend is called Outdoor RX. And this is something that those of us who've gardened for a long time, we know that gardening heals us. But now there is new research that is coming out, in fact, from the University of Florida and Costa Farms. They partnered on a hasn't been released yet study, but I have seen some of the preliminary data. And they said college students who are dealing with anxiety and stress saw actual improvement in their academic test scores, in their attitudes when they took part in therapeutic gardening. So it's not just our industry anymore talking about that, you know, plants heal and, you know, dirt is the new Prozac. I heard that for years. Doctors in Massachusetts have started writing prescriptions for nature. Get outside. And so we're really seeing this happening all over the world.
Did you see where Kai Trump is feeling anxiety being away from home, going to college? Her very first week, she is stressed out. And I'm thinking, we need to send her flowers and get her you know, putting around in the garden.
Yep. It is. It's an age-old thing for kids to be stressed on that first year. But I think that this young generation does experience it more than generations past.
Wow. So we've had a minimalist design. What are we sticking to it? I mean, COVID, everything was just kind of cut back and everything stopped.
Yeah.
So what are we going to see in 2027?
Well, we call the design trend, let's go Rococo. and it's this French inspired, over the top, really kind of Louis XIV style, lots of gold, lots of embellishments, shells, urns, color, more texture, more personality, ruffled peonies, parrot tulips, You know, and with this, you being a designer, mm-hmm. You know that you don't need to redo your whole yard to lean into a trend. Certainly, you shouldn't. You shouldn't be changing all of your plants to be the color
right.
of the year.
Exactly.
But what about two containers that really are just going overboard, statement containers that are just over the top?
Yep, showstoppers. That's wonderful. That is great. So what about being out in nature and being wild? What do you see in that category?
Well, we call this trend where the wild things aren't. And this actually was one of the most surprising to me to do this research, because I have two young kids and I know that they spend, the research shows they're spending 8 hours a day on their screens. They're too structured. But I see my kids playing outside and with their friends. But one of the things that a study was done that said 75% of 8 to 10 year olds would rather be outside.
Mm-hmm.
We spend so much energy worrying about this next generation, but here they are. They're telling us that they'd rather be outside. Gen Z is using digital cameras. Have you heard about this? They're going back to using old analog products.
Wow.
They're taking breaks from social media. And this is about how we design our outdoor spaces to be a little wild, not just a playground with a stump, but something that is actually has tunnels, hollow logs, mud kitchens, ways that kids
yes.
can touch and explore and be
and
with
get
plants.
Dirty. That's wonderful.
Dirty.
That's wonderful. So Katie, I'm coming up on a hard break. Can you stay a little longer?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay, super. So go ahead and give where they can get the Garden Trends Report real quick.
Yes, it's at gardenmediagroup.com/trends. And you can see this year, 2027's report, and then our last 25 reports, if you dare.
Wow. You can download all of them. That is wonderful. Katie, go ahead and give us a little tease about what's coming up in the next segment.
In the next segment, we will find out what our final three trends are, including the color of the year, the most anticipated one of all.
That is great.
And Teresa, one of the things that I find really interesting is the National Wildlife Federation, a great nonprofit, is partnering with a home builder, and they're actually certifying, because the National Wildlife Federation does these certified backyard habitats.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have one?
I have one, and my clients all
yes.
try to get them certified, yes.
I love it. Well, they're actually now certifying nature playscapes. So they're certifying playgrounds, yes, to be these wildlife habitat spaces that are designed for both habitat and for kids.
That's
and there now are
wonderful.
More than 40 of them.
Oh, that's great. And so, just hearing about this, some local cities and schools can go ahead and get their playscapes, certified. So that is wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. So,
yep, these replace like that traditional cookie cutter playground. And I think that is the point of this whole trend, is letting kids just be a little more wild, a little less structured, and what kind of happiness that could create for them.
That's wonderful. There is hope for the next generation then, so
yeah.
We'll be doing that. So, Katie, the report discusses drop it like it's hot. What does that mean?
Be careful. Be careful with that one.
it's a dance, Teresa. Well, in this case, it's actually a reference to hot sauce. And in this trend, we look at how hot sauce actually became just a blow up consumer product. I mean, people are buying, collecting hot sauces, and it's really one of our trends where we see culture meeting plants, and we look at current culture and we say, how do we duplicate this in our industry? What can we do as retailers, as growers, to say, okay, I want someone to collect pothos just like they are collecting hot sauce.
There you go.
And one of the ways we're doing this is limited releases, collaborations. We're telling the story behind these plants, like where they were found, what grower discovered them, stories like this. And then we're also doing live plant sales. So it's live streaming instead of just putting it on a shelf and hoping someone finds it.
Wonderful. Well, we're going to take a quick break, but don't go away. When we return, Katie, what are you going to be sharing?
Well, I can't wait to share with you the rest of the trends from this year's report, including our color of the year, which is always one of our most sought after trends.
That's wonderful. From the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios, it's Saturday morning. You're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins. I am enjoying a wonderful conversation with the president of the Garden Media Group, Katie Dubow, and their recently released 2027 Garden Trends Report. What's going to be coming up in the future in gardens? And so, Katie, we stopped at the report, Drop It Like It's Hot and the Hot Sauce. What else is coming up in the garden area?
Well, we have two more trends in our seven trends for 2027. This is the first time I'm realizing all those sevens for this year. And so this sixth trend is called proof of soil. And this really came to light when we started looking at the regenerative food movement, mm-hmm. and that consumers already go to the grocery store and they know where their food comes from. There are multiple sourcing labels on our foods. And so the savvy consumer likes to shop organic, or they like to shop regenerative, and they're paying money for it. These aren't your hippie 70s budget shoppers who are making their own compost tea. These are people who are looking for sourcing and tracing, but they're not finding it in the garden aisle. This customer wants to know, if I buy this soil and I grow my food in it, how can I be sure that it is serving me in the right way? So we're not advocating for more oversight or, you know, government labels here, but we are telling the brands and the companies to say, your customers want to know exactly what's in this. They want to know where it comes from, because they want to be sure when they feed their family something that it's healthy. And secondly, they also want to brag about it. There's some bragging rights that are happening here about, you know, the mileage that it came from to get to their table or all those things. So it's not just about being sustainable, but it's about, you know, growers who can answer questions and gain trust for their customers.
That is very, very important. And so the final one that we want to talk about is always a big, big, big surprise when I hear it. So what is next?
Well, and this one this is our color of the year. And we did surprise some people this year because we picked the color ancient blue. If you can picture Egyptian blue, it's kind of a purpley blue, or cobalt. You might have mm-hmm. that color in your head.
Yes.
And a lot of people were surprised that we would pick this, being a garden trend spotting firm, because only 10% of the plants in the world are true blue. So we thought, well, this is one of the rarest colors in nature. Why is Garden Media picking this? But interestingly, when we look at the trends and we look at the rest of the things that we talked about this year, number one, joy and dopamine. We're looking at bright, bold colors, and this color really does for us pop. But we're also looking at, you know, the restorative nature of colors. And blue is always a color that's used in spas to help people stay calm. It's a relaxing color.
And it's also the color of wallpaper and huge ballrooms in France for the Rococo era. The blue on the walls.
Yes, the Rococo era used that immensely. And they are actually bringing back Egyptian blue. It was lost 4,000 years ago, and a lab actually has recreated it for the first time this year. And I learned at one of the conferences this summer that famous artist companies that make, you know, oil pastels mm-hmm. are now reintroducing this ancient blue color in their lines, which we didn't even know.
Wow.
So it's really incredible. And, you know, you can still put it in your garden. You've got agapanthus from Southern Living Plant Collection. Mm-hmm. You can do hydrangeas, you know, you can make sure that you can coax them blue, salvia black and blue. So there are a number of plants that fit this hue.
Mm-hmm. The Himalayan poppy.
Himalayan poppy, if you are lucky enough to be able to grow that. I haven't been successful.
I have zone envy, I have to tell you that. Oh, so looking at all these trends, and we're going to, again, I'm going to post the link where you can download the Garden Media Group 2027 Garden Trends Report. And but looking at all these trends, what is the biggest message for gardeners and garden centers in the green industry as we go into 2027, Katie?
Well, I think one of the things is that, you know, we talk a lot about this dopamine hit and that we're overstimulated from our phones. But in reality, we're not putting our phones down. You know, we have a lot of great resources that come through those phones. So we're not saying try to compete with phones or get rid of them or unplug. Rather, we just have to remember that what we offer is something that phones cannot. Mm-hmm. Gardening gives us time. It gives us texture. It gives us food. It gives us beauty. It gives us the practice of anticipation or patience. You know, working and cultivating with the land is working with a living thing. It changes every single day, and it changes because of Mother Nature, mm-hmm. but also because you showed up and you do the work outside. And I believe that's always been the gift of gardening. And so when people are able to put their phones down temporarily and tune in, I think that this is the year that we are really going to see gardening explode because of what it offers people.
Well, I really was very touched by one of your statements in the Garden Trends, is that especially when designing, and I tend to do this with, because I personalize my design to my clients' needs, mm-hmm. but also what they want to feel. And so it's not what do you need in the garden, how do you want the garden to make you feel? And I thought that was very insightful of you.
Oh, well, I'm not a designer, but I think that that is so important these days when we're all so attuned to our feelings so much that, you know, when you look out your window, you are prideful, you are joyful, whatever that feeling is, you know, that's what the garden gives me. So I know it will give that to other people too.
Wonderful. Katie, thank you so much for this Garden Trend Report. We need to know how to reset our energies, and gardening provides the opportunity to do yes. just that. So one more time, how can our listeners download the Garden Media Group 2027 free for themselves?
Yes, free at gardenmediagroup.com/trends, and you will find Digging for Dopamine.
There you go. Thank you so much, Katie. Give my best to your mom, Susie. And
I will.
I can't wait to see you again soon. TPIE.
Me too.
There you go.
Yes.
Thank you so much. Take care. I love Katie.
I absolutely love her. And if anybody's ever in a bad mood around her, I will go up and I will throat punch him, because that woman brings some light just by opening
her
mouth.
She is on QVC. She's just wonderful. And the Garden Media Trends Report is fascinating to read. It is free. I will post a link to it on our Better Lawns and Gardens Facebook page and on Instagram. And we thank very much Katie for coming to us. It's Saturday morning. From the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Back to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm your host, Teresa Watkins. Our guest today is Dr. Sarah McDonald from UF IFAS Extension in St. Lucie County. Sarah works closely with Florida communities through Florida Friendly Landscaping and the Master Gardener Volunteer Program. She helps people better understand their plants, insects, and natural systems that shape their landscapes. Good morning, Sarah. How are you?
Hi, I'm really good. How are you?
I am wonderful. So, Sarah, Florida is a top-tier producer of vegetables in the United States. We rank second nationally in total vegetable production with nearly 10 million acres of farms. What makes Florida such a great environment to grow fresh vegetables?
Yeah, so here in Florida, we have a long growing season. We have lots of sunshine. And in many parts of the state, we can also grow vegetables almost all year round. But one of the best things that makes Florida unique is that we have several different growing seasons.
Mm-hmm.
So gardeners can grow a really wide variety of crops depending where they live. The key for all of that is to choose the right vegetable and planting it at the right time.
That's wonderful. So you mentioned where they live. So why is it important to know what region of Florida you're gardening in?
Yeah, because Florida is a very large state, as we know. So we have different growing conditions, and all of those can vary, can be different depending if you're in North Florida, South Florida. So, for example, a vegetable that you will plant in September in North Florida might not be the best choice at the same time if you live in South Florida.
The weather is going to be different.
Mm-hmm. Like UFIFAS divides the state into North, Central, and South. And when we have gardening calendars that will tell you what to plant and when.
That's wonderful. So how many ways can gardeners grow vegetables in Florida? So how can they do it?
Yeah, so we can do it depending what we have available. So we can do it directly into the ground, if we have landscape beds, raised beds, if we have containers. If we have a community garden nearby, that would be a great option. And you can even do like hydroponic and other soilless systems. So we don't need to have a huge backyard to be able to grow food. So as long as you have some sunny areas, a balcony can be enough to grow herbs or tomatoes, peppers, or any other vegetable.
I find that so important here in Florida, that even in the apartments and in the small duplexes and where people live, and even in college dorms, they can still grow their own food. So that's very important. So what kind of conditions should gardeners look into and decide before growing the vegetables?
Yeah, so I always tell gardeners that they need to look for information before they start planting. For example, we need to look at how much sunlight do we get. Like most of the veggies, they will need at least 6 hours of sunlight. Then also, we need to check into the soil. What do we have in there? Do we have drainage? Do we have moisture? What about the pH? And that's one very, very important detail, because he is going to tell us what nutrients are going to be available to the plant. So there are also other things, for example, the air circulation, microclimate, because if we have a spot that is next to a wall or a fence or even under a tree area, we can have different conditions than the rest of the yard.
So that's important. And you were talking about the soil. So do you recommend getting a soil test, and how often should they get it?
Absolutely. So we actually offer the services if you have an office next to where you live. So we have an extension office in every county. So if you're nearby, you can bring your soil for testing, and then we're going to test for pH. So that we should do every time before we plant something.
And so that should be done each time. Okay. And then you can also get a soil analysis. What does a soil analysis test tell us?
Yeah, the soil analysis will be more in-depth. So for that, we're going to collect the samples, and we're going to send to a lab in the University of Florida in Gainesville. That is our main campus. You can also find those forms online or in the extension office. So there you're going to get information more in-depth, like how much nutrients you have specific. If you want to fertilize, how those rates should be added. Mm-hmm. If you have low pH, high pH, how we can adapt those depending to what you're planting.
So when we're planting it, how important is irrigation when growing vegetables?
Oh, my gosh. That is one of the most important questions. So irrigation is extremely, extremely important, but water doesn't necessarily mean like better plants. So we want to be able to provide consistent moisture without keeping the soil constantly saturated. That is very important. Mm-hmm. And I invite two gardeners to really pay attention to the soil and the plant rather than the watering automatically every day. And if we have rain, there is no need to irrigate them. So here in Florida, it's very important to have an irrigation.
So now with irrigation and with the pH and with the soil, how different is growing vegetables on the coast where, St. Lucie County, or in the center part of the state? Is being on the coast and being with ocean and the salt water, does that make it different?
Yeah, it will also depend where you get in the water, not necessarily the coast. For example, if you get in water that is recycled, mm-hmm. I forgot the specific name right now, mm-hmm. but if you are just hand watering, if you get in, if you have
reclaimed,
reclaimed water, thank you, mm-hmm. that we should not be using those in vegetables. But then the irrigation per se will really depend on the soil that you have. Mm-hmm. And we do tend to have more sandy soils near to the coast.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And so in North Florida right now, what would you recommend planting right now for the fall garden?
Yeah. So right now it is a really good time to plant things like broccoli, cabbage, collards, kale, lettuce, carrots. But then we can also do some warm season crops. For mm-hmm. example, I will say lettuce are a good example mm-hmm. that we can also do it now.
Wonderful. South Florida, where you are, what should they be planting right now?
Here. Similar things like collard, kale, lettuce, peppers, tomatoes, tropical greens. But then if we want to start from seeds, we can do carrots, cucumbers, okras, onions, squash, things like that.
You are making me hungry. Sarah, we only have a few more minutes. Where can they go to find their extension office and so they can get a soil test and a pH test? Give us the information to find out more about growing vegetables in Florida.
Yeah, so here at the University of Florida, the Institute of Food and Agricultural Science, we have a lot of information. We are the outreach arm of the University of Florida. We are in every county, so you can just search online UFIFAS Extension and your county, and then you will find our local office and all the resources that are available.
That's wonderful. Sarah, thank you so much for coming on and talking to us about growing vegetables. What's your favorite vegetable?
Oh, we were just talking about that today. My favorite one, I will say tomatoes.
There you go. Do you have a favorite tomato you grow?
Cherry.
Cherry tomatoes. There you go. All right, Sarah, thank you so much for coming on. I'll be posting links to the Find Your Local Extension Office on our Better Lawns and Gardens Facebook page. You'll find all that information. Thank you so much, Dr. McDonald. I appreciate it. We are going to be right back with more of Better Lawns and Gardens at Summit Responsible Solutions Studios. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network.
If you miss any of this show or any of the other shows, you can always go back and recap this show at betterlawns.com, betterlawns.com. And you can also email Teresa at teresa.watkins@live.com.